The Eddie B. Sit edition and audio series of the Talmud Bavli.
Masechet Yomah has been dedicated in memory of Mazal Bat Esther Baghdadi and Yosef Ben Mazal Baghdadi by their family. Ruach Hashem Tanihem Began Eden. Amen. Daf Vav. Today's daf has been dedicated anonymously in memory of Arlette Tamir. Ruach Hashem Tanihena Began Eden. Amen. Today's daf is being studied Le'ilu Nishmat Acham Baruch Rafael Ben Miriam and Avraham Ben Esther. Ruach Hashem Tanihem Began Eden. Amen. We are beginning today on Daf Hei Amud Bet, 11 lines from the bottom, starting with the word Peligi. Peligi ba b'nei Rabbi Chaya and Rabbi Yochanan. We have a machlok between the sons of Rabbi Chaya and Rabbi Yochanan. Hadamar, one rabbi says, Aharon ve'harkach banav, that the order that they were dressed, that they got dressed by Moshe during the Zayin Yemei Milu'im, it was first Aharon, the Kohen Gadol, and then his sons were dressed. V'hadamar Aharon u'banav bebatahat. And another opinion says, no, Aharon and his children were actually dressed simultaneously. The Gemara elaborates, Amar Abaye bechetonet u'betznefet. Regarding the keton, which is, let's say, the tunic that the Kohen would wear, u'metznefet is the hat, everybody agrees on that, those two garments, that it was actually Aharon that was dressed first, and then subsequently his children. That everybody holds. Now it should be pointed out that why did the Gemara Abaye choose these items, ketonet u'metznefet? Why are these items special? So the Mefashim really explain that v'chen sh'ar begadim shel kohen gadol, that they actually dressed Aharon with not only these items first, but also with the choshen, the me'il, the seats, and the ephod. They actually almost all dressed except for his belt. So they explain that why Abaye chose these garments. These items are worn both by a Kohen Gadol and a Kohen Hediot. Those are the similar items. As we know, the Kohen Hediot wears four garments and the Kohen Gadol wears eight. Four out of the eight that the Kohen Gadol wears are similar to the Kohen Hediot. So it's just chose over here, for example, the Ketonet and the Mitznefet, which is both Kohen Gadol and Kohen Hediot. It should be pointed out that obviously Mechdasayim, the pants, is obviously also was discussed here. They also came first. Tosfot explains that the reason why Abaye did not mention Mechdasayim is because Mechdasayim are not really mentioned anywhere, not in the Tzava'ah of the Milu'im and not in the Asiyah. Because I guess it's assumed that they're wearing Mechdasayim. And of course, Tziniut issues, they probably put on the Mechnasayim by themselves even, that Moshe did not even have to dress them. Moshe dressed the Kohanim during the Milu'im. So he dressed them on the subsequent garments, but he didn't dress them on the Mechnasayim because they probably put it on themselves. In any event, the point of the Gemara is regarding the other Begadim, there's no Mahloket. Aaron got his clothes on first, and his children got the clothes on second. So then what's the argument over here? Who came first? So the Gemara does say, the Aharon v'Achbanav, the ben b'Savaa, uben b'Asiya Aharon Kadim. So you look in Parashat Tesaveh, where the laws of the Milu'im are discussed, commanded. If you look in Parashat Tzav, where the laws of the Milu'im are executed, it's clear that Aharon got dressed first. That's clearly in the Pesukim. Ki peligi, the argument over here is where? Be'avnet, regarding the belt. Now again, Aharon wore a belt, and the children of Aharon also wore a belt. Ma'adabar Aharon b'akach banav, according to the opinion that says, it was Aharon, and then his children, what's the logic? Dichtiv, because it says in Parashat Tzav, when they were actually doing it, it says, v'yagor oto be'avnet. Very clear. And they belted him, right? They wrapped him or they tied him up with a belt. the Hadar Ketiv, and then it says Vayagor Otam Abnit. Then it says they were belted. So therefore, you see what came Aaron first, and then his children. You see clearly the pesukim are specifically talking about the Abnit. Uman de Amar Aaron ubanav bevatahat. And according to the Pesukim, that says it was simultaneously. Dechtiv vehagarta otam in Parashat Tetzaveh. When it talks about the commandment to do all the laws of the Miluim, it says in the pasuk vehagarta otam, and you should belt them, mashma, together. Now the Gemara is going to ask, what does it mean together? How do you dress two people or four people, whatever it is, simultaneously? It's the Gemara's question, but this is the Gemara's saying. So comes the Gemara and says, Ulman de Amar Aharon Ubana bebatachat. According to the opinion that says that it was simultaneously that they wanted to put on their belts, they had their belts put on at the same time. Ve'akiti vayichgor oto be'abnet, ve'adakiti vayichgor otam avnet. What does he do with those pesukim? Clearly it says vayichgor oto, and then it says vayichgor otam. So Kaz Gemaran says, Amar lecha, he'll answer you. Hahu, those pesukim that were written by Parashat Tetzaveh, Abneto shel Kohen Gadol, lo zehu Abneto shel Kohen Ejot. Come to tell you that the belt of the Kohen Gadol is not similar to the belt of the Kohen Ejot. What do you mean it's not similar? So look at the top Rashi on the Vav Amud Rishon. Kelomar leolam kra de sava'a davka bevatahat. The pesukim in Tzav, those are the main pesukim when it says v'hagarta otam. In the Sava'a, I should say the Saveh. Those are the main pesukim, and therefore when it says v'hagarta otam, it means that they were dressed simultaneously. So what does it say? V'yagor oto, and then it says v'yagor otam. U'ba'asiya de palginu, and in the asiyah that it separates them, lilamedenu ba, to come and teach us, she'en abnetim shavim, to tell us that we're not the same. She'ne'emar b'ma'aseh abnet shel kohen gadol, ve'et avnet, shesh mozar, techelet ve'argaman, lamadnu shehu shel kil'ayim, that the belt of the kohen gadol was actually a mixture of wool and linen. It was shatnez. The shesh kitna. Shesh is kitna, that would be linen. Right? When it says shesh, utchelet amra. And techelet would be blue wool. The avnet habanim, and the avnet of the children, lo pireh shekatu b'mahayu. It really doesn't tell us what it was made out of. Vashmeh inan hacha, da avneto shel kohen gadol, lo zehu avneto shel kohen ejot. Shezeh shel kelayim vezeh shel boots. Which means, so what it says in the pasuk, vayagor oto, vayagor otam, it's not discussing order. It's discussing, it was different. He had one style belt, and they had a different belt. His belt, Aaron, was actually shatnez. It had woolen linen. And their belt, no. How were they dressed? Now we go with the pasuk that says, vahagarta otam. That was written by the actual tetzaveh in the commandment. Good, that's the pshita of that opinion. Kavz Gebran says, Uman damar Aaron v'hakach banav. But according to the opinion that says it was Aaron and then the children, v'hakiti v'hagarta otam avnet. What did you do with the pasuk v'hagarta otam, which is mashma? It was together. Amar lach, ahu kamash ma'alan, abneto shel kohen gadol, zehu abneto shel kohen ejot. He comes along and says the opposite, that the theme are exactly the same. And therefore, even the abnet of the kohen ejot was actually shatnez. And therefore, they were both made up the same material. So the hagarta otam, according to him, is not discussing order, it's discussing style. But the style of that abnetim were the same. However, vayagor oto avnet vayagor otam lamali. Where those people keep coming to tamish mamina Aaron ve'arkach banav. Now the Gemara asks the obvious question: ubatahat imashkachatla? How do you put on the belt simultaneously? According to the opinion that says it was zeh achar zeh, have no problem. First they did Aaron, and then they did the his children. But the opinion that says vahagarta otam is literal. How could Moshe dress several people? at the same time. Gemara says, Lo tzericha de'agdim. It's not talking about mamash simultaneously, but it's really referring to what? That de'agdim, one came first. What does that mean? Look at Rashi. Lo tzericha de'agdim. Actually, let's look at the Rashi right before that. Ubebat achat mimashkachat la, shiye Moshe lebado choger hamisha bnei Adam keachat. Right? Is it possible for Moshe to address five people simultaneously? Lo tzricha de'akdim. Lo bevat achat mamashka amar. It doesn't mean mamash simultaneously. Ela ze achar ze. Of course, it was consecutive, one after the other. Aval beseder echad hayu. But it was in one order. Velo efsik beged aher bintayim, without any other garment in between. Meaning that she's going to tell us the way they got dressed was in a way where all the belts were back to back to each other. He saved the belts to the last, then he put Aaron's belt and the Kohen and the belts of the children after. Hilbish to Aaron kol begadav. He put all the begadim on Aaron, like we learned. Velo hagar oto avnet. And he left his belt off. Here it clearly says in Nashi that he dressed them, he put the mechnasayim on, ketonet umitznefet, and then he put the other garments as well. So again, from Nashi over here, it's mashma that Moshe did indeed dress even the mechnasayim to the kohanim. Ve'arkak natanat abnetim. Then he took five belts. The Hagart Aharon, the Aharkach Banav. So what it means that he dressed them in one shot means it was five belts in a row. Now obviously he didn't do it simultaneously. It means Dagdim. He put all the other clothes on first and then he left the belts for last. Ulman Damar Aharon Baharkach Banav Kichtavo. According to the opinion, it was Aharon and then his children, like it says, Amur Ba'asiyah, Vayitin Alav et HaKetor, Vayagor Oto Abnet, Vayilbesh Oto et HaMe'il, Vayaharkak, Vayiklav et Bnei Aharon, Vayilbishem Ketonet, Vayagor Otam Be'abnet. Which means, in that case, he dressed Aharon, and then he put on his belt as well, and then he dressed the big day, Keuna of the children, and then he put on their belt. So that would be, he dressed himself. Everybody agrees the belt of Aaron was put on first. The only machlok we come out now, the Maskanadis Gemara, was there back to back, or was there the dressing of the children in between? So we have a great machlok over here, just what happened at the time of the Miluim, in the way the Kohanim were dressed. And now we move on to the next piece. Gemara says, we learned in our Mishnah, Mafrishim Kohen Gadol. 7 days before Kippur, we separated and we sequestered the Kohen Gadol into the office called the Shkat Parhedrin, which is in the area of the Beit HaMikdash. So the Gemara says, Lama mafrishin. What is the purpose of this hafrasha? What are we doing here? What are we trying to accomplish? So the Gemara says, Lama mafrishin. What are we sequestering for? Ked the kamrinan. Il Rabbi Yohanan, ked the itle, il shlakish, ked the itle. Excuse me, this learning for the past five pages over here, that's the whole suya. You have Rabbi Yohanan says we sequester him because we have a pasuk by the Miluim. And just like by the Miluim, Aharon was sequestered for 7 days before he's going to go into the Kodesh, so to the Kohen Gadol before Kippur. Oh, Kodesh Mishtakish, we learn from Sinai. So anyway, what kind of question is that? Why? Why? We sufficiently stated the case according to the Yohanan Mishtakish. Why? So the Gemara says, Hakikama, this is what the Gemara's question is. Mibeto lama pirish. Why does he have to leave his house? Meaning, why does he have to leave his wife? When she understands the question, and I read it in Sad Mebetov, he means his wife. Lama pirish, me ishto lama pirish, tavo ishto imosham. Let him bring his wife to the Shkat Parhedrin with him. Share al korhak lishkat Parhedrin lo aita kedusha. Yeah, she's now taking care of a side question.
You know, maybe you'll argue with me. How could you take your wife to Lishkat Pededin if they're all in the Beit HaMikdash area? So he says, well, obviously it doesn't have the Kedusha because the Kohen Gadol is going in that spot and he's sleeping in that spot. Now we know that in the holy areas of the Beit HaMikdash, you're not even allowed to sit. Kol Sheken, sleep. So if we're letting the Kohen sleep there for 7 days, obviously that's not the area of Kedusha. So therefore, that she says, let him take his wife. Tosfot on the bottom, Mibeto lama pirish, we can read that together. Pirish Rashi. Tavoi shtoi Moshem. Shereh akurach, lishkat peredrin, lo haita kedusha. Obviously, the lishkat peredrin is not kadosh. Why? She'en yeshiva ba'azara, kol sheken shekiva. Right? You're not allowed to sit in the azara, kol sheken sleep. If they're letting him sleep, so that means no kedusha. The kashi alan. So Tosfot has a question. Maybe the Peredrin section doesn't have the Kedusha of the Azara. It's still Harabait, it's still Temple Mount. The whole Temple Mount has the status of Mahane Levi. And we learned the Masechet Pesachim that during Mahane Levi, you cannot have a Baal Keri. So therefore, we're back to the question. How could that she tell us over here, bring his wife? You can't bring your wife. So that cannot be the Gemara's question. So therefore, the Sword says, "Ela yesh lefarish mebeto lama pirish havana lememar sheyafrishu lemechila achat meharabayit." That's what Gemara is saying. Don't bring him to Panedrin. Bring him to one of the tunnels on Harabayit, and those tunnels were really not considered Harabayit proper, and there he'd be able to be with his wife. But the Gemara was not asking that he should bring his wife to the Lishkat Peredrin. That's not an option. So again, we have a great machloket over here, Rashi Tosfot. If in Lishkat Peredrin, it would be permissible to be with one's wife. Rashi's mashma, yeah, that's always only the question. Bring his wife to Lishkat Peredrin. Tosfot, what are you talking about? Lishkat Peredrin has a din of Mahane Leviyah. Mahane Leviyah is Kedusha. Baal Keri cannot even go there. So therefore, he bring him to one of the tunnels over there by the Beit HaMikdash area with his wife. Why are you separating from his wife? So comes the Gemara and says, Tanya, we have a Braita. Rabbi Yehuda ben Betera Omer, Rabbi Yehuda ben Betera says, Shemet Timsa Ishto Sefek Nida. We're concerned that what? That the Kohen Gadol's wife might become Sefek Nida. And she says, how she becomes Sefek Nida? She tamsa dama la sadin she karhabo. Which means he's gonna find blood on the sheet. After the tashmish, she's gonna clean herself, and on the bed, there's gonna be blood. The enyadua biaya badamze or la harbiya. Well, actually, they're not gonna know. Take it back. She's not gonna clean herself with the sadin. It's just gonna be on the sadin. Blood on the sheet. And they're not going to know, when did this blood come here? Did it come here before the Tashmish? So maybe the blood was just there from before. Or maybe it came during the Tashmish. And therefore the Kohen was actually a Bo'el Nida. So therefore, Bo'el Nida, Tavish Shavach Jamin. The Yasul Abba Mekdes, Yom Kippurim. So therefore, the Gemara says, and I read it inside, Shemit Timsa Ishto Safek Nida V'yavu Aleha. Because before the Tashmish, they're going to have Tashmish. Right? Now, it's mashma from the Gemara that they saw the blood first. He looked at the blood on the sandin. Okay, my wife, where did it come before? Is it coming after? Or they don't know. So he might have relations with his wife in a situation where she is sefek nida. So the Gemara says, atu b'rishi'ai askinan. What are we talking about over here? We're talking about a sha'im? But are we talking about a case where the guy knows his wife is sefek nida and he's going to have relations? This is Kohen Gadol over here. We're not talking about a rasha'ah that's going to go blatantly and be with a Safek Nida. So he goes, no. Ela, the case is, and this was the Rashi that we just read, by the way. It's on this case. The first case is not where they check the sheets after Tashmish. The first case is there's a Safek already. He doesn't know if she's Nida or not. He'll have relations. And therefore, he needs 7 days. Therefore, he's got to be away from his wife. He goes, we're talking about the Shaim over here. Guys can go willingly to be with his wife, Safek Nida. So now, Ela Shemi Yavu Alishto. Maybe he'll have relations with his wife. Vitimsa Safek Nida. And after, subsequently it'll be found that what she's Safek Nida. How? When they find the blood on the sheet, and they're not going to know
when the blood came, and therefore he's got to take a 7-day period of purification, because Mu'il Nida is also Tameh 7 days. Now we understand why he's got to keep away from his wife. Why? Because the hashash of this safek. Because if he's going to be with his wife, then he's not going to be ready for Kippur. You need 7 days. So then when I told him, separate from his wife. It's an anyan of Mu'il Nida.
Right.
Comes Gemara's Amaru Rabbanan Kemet Rav Chisda. So they sent this over to the rabbi. Sent this over to Rav Chisda, and they said, Keman Rabbi Akiva. This has got to be going like the Shita of Rabbi Akiva, the Amar that said Nida Metamea et Boala, because it's indeed Rabbi Akiva's opinion that says the Nida is not only Metameh the Nida, it's Metameh the husband. Now hold it. Everybody holds that Boel Nida is Metameh 7 days. Mm-hmm. That's a pasuk in the Torah. Uthi nidata alav. So therefore, what does the Gemara mean over here? Oh, this must be going like Rabbi Akiva. What do you mean? The Rabbanan also agree. So that she over here gives a very important introduction or explanation of the mahlok between Rabbi Akiva and the Hakamim regarding this subject. Let's read it together. Keman. Ke Rabbi Akiva, de amar aroe dam mitame'ad bo'ala. Lemafreya kol me'et le'et, meaning that the husband would have to count 7 days, and the 7 days he would count is we call that me'et le'et. When a lady, right, when a lady becomes a nida, and we're safek, if it was from the tashmish, if it was from before, so what the rabbis did was, they said that everything she touched, like taharot and things like that, from 24 hours before the rabbinical injunction over here. She had tashmish, she's misupeket. Is she nida? Did it come from here? Did it come from before? Where's this mud? Mm-hmm. So for 24 hours before already, retroactively, everything she touches becomes tameh. So it says, Keshem shegazu shetumat taharot me'et ta'et l'mafleya. Upeluktai u'masichet nida. Here it is. The machloket is over masichet nida, perek kol ayad. V'akitunan, derech benot Yisrael, the way of the Jewish woman was what? Meshameshot b'shni edim. That before the tashmish, they would prepare two edim, two cloths, two white cloths. They're called edim. The reason why they're called edim, because they testify. The cloth lets us know what's going on over here. Ehad lo ve'ehad la. She would have one, and he would have one. Nimsa al shelo. The Friday after tashmish, he takes the zayed, and he cleans himself, and he sees blood. Temeim shneim kol shiva. Then for sure, we know this lady was nida, because where did that blood come from? It's not normal for a man to secrete blood from that spot. Ela must be that that blood came from where? The tashmish, and therefore you know both of them are going to be tameh vaday. That she says, the vaday haya dam b'shat bi'ah. She'en derech ha'ish latzit m'menu dam. Nimsa al... Okay, case number two. Nimsa al shela. Now let's say you found the blood on her head. Otyom. What does otyom mean? Vehu lashon miyad b'lshon yevani. Otyom means immediately. Meaning right after the tashmish, boom, she made a kinuah, she cleaned herself on the spot, and you found blood. She kanha b'frishat yisi'at ha-shamash miyad. The second the shamash pulled out, boom, she made a kinuah. What's the deen? Temeim vaday. That's also tameh vaday. No she'ela. So there's two cases over here that everybody agrees on. If he made a kinuah at any time after the tashmish, doesn't have to be otyom, because if it's on him, where does blood come from?
Only from there.
It only came from the tashmish. The blood doesn't come from that makom. So on him, it's automatic vaday. From her, it has to be what? Otyom, immediately. Mm-hmm. Right after the shamash comes out, she makes a kinuah, then you know it's tameh vaday. She's 7 days, and he's 7 days. Now, according to everybody. Nimsa le'har zeman. Next case. Let's say the blood was found le'har zeman, meaning kilomar shirhika bidika. She put her bidika a little far away from the tashmish. Timi'im misafik. Then it is tuma, but that's safik. What's the case? Ve'ezu le'har zeman. Kede shetered min amita v'tadiyah et paneha shel mata. Which means the amount of time that it would take her to get off the bed and make the kinuah.
30 seconds, then that's the shiur. Meaning, of course, the shiur of time, but they're saying if she hesitated to make the bidikah, from the time that it takes to get off the bed and do the bidikah, so then it says, what? It's going to be a safek. Safek tum'ah. Now again, safek tum'ah shall be safek 7 days. And he'll be safek as well, 7 days. Now, ve'ahar kach. Now, if let's say she makes the bidikah after that.
A later time.
Mm-hmm. Past the time that it takes to get off the bed and do the kinuach. Then mitame'ah me'et le'et. Ve'ena mitame'ah et bo'ala. Then we just put the retroactive tumah on her what? She's mitame'ah things retroactively. Midrabanan, we say, whatever she came in contact with in the past 24 hours is going to be tameh. However, such tum'ah is not going to be mitameh the Baal. He doesn't get a 7 day tum'ah. Ve'achi pirusha, ve'im yoter mikan, sha'atal lebdok, ve'agak batkav matzari, kish'ar nashim netameh lemafleh ta'arot shel me'et le'et, ve'ena mitameh bo'ala. Shelo gazdu tum'at me'et le'et, ne'yan tum'at bo'ala. Meaning, when the rabbis made a decree that she has to go 24 hours back on what she touched, what's the logic in that? Again, we say that, we don't know, maybe this came from, or maybe this was really, the blood was there from before. So it was there from before, so we retroactive it 24 hours. However, it doesn't affect the Baal, that case. Rabbi Akiva Omer, af mitame abu ala. That's where your machlok is. Rabbi Akiva says, even in such a case, the Baal is Tameh, 7 days. So we have three cases here. We have three stages, exactly. We have stage number one, Otyum.
Oh, sure.
By the lady we're talking now. Because when the man makes the bidikah and he finds blood on him, there's no she'elah, doesn't matter when.
What a matter.
Okay. After the tashmish, 10 seconds, 20 seconds, a minute, 2 minutes, obviously it came from the Otomakum. So on the man's side, there's no stage here. It's automatic, it's vaday. On the lady, there's three stages. There's Otyum. Right away, Vadai. She's seven, he's seven. Kedesh she'tered min ha'mita v'tadiach paneha shel mata, that's already sefek. She's tamea, he's tamea. No argument here. Where do we have the argument in the Rabbi Akiva and Hachamim? In the third stage. Which means after the time that it takes to get off the bed, let's say a minute later, for argument's sake. Oh, so now she makes a bidikah and she finds blood. In this case, the deen is Hachamim, put it to manar lemafleya. That what? That everything she came in contact with in the past 24 hours, me'it le'et, we call that, retroactive is going to become tameh. So now, Rabbi Akiva comes along and says, not only is she mitameh lemafleya, but we give the husband tum'at shiva as well in this case. And Hachamim say, no. Whenever you give the lady tum'at darabbanan lemafleya, you don't give the husband tum'at nida for 7 days. That specific case is the machloket. Now we go back to our case. The Kohen Gadol is in the Mishkat Peredrim. So the Gemara says, hey, what do you got to put him in the Mishkat Peredrim for? What do you bring? Let him go with his wife. What are you worried about? No, what do you mean? Worried about Sefek Nida over here. So, oh, you're worried about Sefek Nida? That must be only going like Rabbi Akiva. So the Gemara is going to say, what do you got to say only Rabbi Akiva? I can tell you that it can even be going like the rabbis, which means it's only like Rabbi Akiva if you learn the case is talking about stage 3. But if you're talking about, let's say, stage two, even the Hakamim would agree you have a Tumah of 7. So the Gemara says this. Gemara, so we start out now that you have the introduction, we can read this inside. Amaruha. We're going to start from Amaruah. Amaruah Rabbanan, the first one on the line is Sefek Nida. Amaruah Rabbanan Kamed Rav Chazda. Kemaan Kerbi Akiva, Daman Nida, Metamad Bo'ala. Di Rabbanan, because if he tamiz the Rabbanan, Ha Amri En Nida Metamad Bo'ala. They hold that the Nida is not Metamad Bo'al. But in which case? Only in the after stage 3. So Amar Lehu Rav Chazda, so Rav Chazda, Afilu Tenu Rabbanan. What do you mean? You can even say it's the Rabbanan. Ad kan lo padigi Rabbanan alad Rabbi Akiva ela be'ahar ahar. Right? Into after. Meaning, ahar otyum, that's stage 2. Ahar ahar. After ahar. You have otyum, That's immediate. Then you have Ahar Otyom, after Otyom, and then you have Ahar Ahar. That's stage three. That's where they're arguing. Aval Behad Ahar, but after one Ahar, meaning after stage two, Kedesh Shetered Min Amita, Moduleh. So therefore, you have no proof to say that this is only going to be Akiva. I can tell you that the case is what we're worried. If the Kohen is going to be with his wife, and then she's going to make a bidika, by the time it takes her to get off the bed in that shirud, even the rabbis are going to say, what, sefik nida both sides, therefore he's going to be tameh 7 days, therefore he's not going to be ready to work in the bet. That's why you don't send his wife with him. It's an issue of nida. Good? Amar bizera. So now the bizera comes along and says, hadush. Shma minna. You know what I learned from all this? Bo'el nida eno kenida vetobel bayom. Now we know a nida, a lady, she goes to the mikveh after 7 complete days at night. Nida, the Torah clearly says, she cannot go to the mikveh during the day. She needs to wait 7 complete days and then she goes to the mikveh. Rabbi Zera says, I'm learning from here that a bo'el nida, husband, when he becomes tameh for 7 days, he's allowed to go to the mikveh during the day. He does not have to wait until the night. Why? Why do you know that? De'i amar bo'el nida kenida. Because if you're going to tell me bo'el nida is like that, he's got to go after the 7th night. Emat tabil. When is he going to go to the mikveh? Belilya. So you tell me, well, 7 days, that means he's going to go Lil Kippur. Because that's the 7th night. That's wait 7 days. Lel Kippur, the night of the 10th, he's going to have to go to the mikveh. So what? Let him go to the mikveh. What's the difference? Tevilah shel mitzvah, let him go. What's the problem? Lemachar hechi avid avodah. How's he going to work in the Beit HaMikdash on Kippur day? Ve'abai ha'ayrev shemesh. For a person to become tahor, you need two things. You need mikveh, and then you need nightfall. Now when you go at night, it's already nightfall already. So you're not going to become tahor to Motzei Kippur. So therefore, how's it going to work? He's going to the mikveh Leil Kippur. Otam, they separated him 7 days. He waits 7 days for the nida item. Leil Kippur, he goes to the mikveh to be that mitzvah. Beautiful. Is he tahor yet to work in the Beit HaMikdash? No. Why? You need the Erev Shemesh. Did he have the Erev Shemesh? No. What does Erev Shemesh mean? You need the mikveh. And then followed by sunset. Here, when sunset came, he was still tameh. He went to the mikveh after sunset. And therefore, when does he become tahor? Motzei Kippur. Motzei Kippur finished. Who works then? Who worked? Eli, you must say that he goes to the mikveh the 7th day, Erev Kippur in the afternoon. Once the night comes, Erev Shemesh, by the next morning, already he's permissible to do the avodah. Eli, love shma mina. That's the proof of Rabbi Zera. Again, get the terminology. Bo'el nida eno kenida. The bo'el nida is not like a nida in the sense of when they go to the mikveh. Comes Gemara and says, Rav Shimi minehar de'a amar afilu tema bo'el nida kenida. I argue. I can tell you bo'el nida is like a nida. He's got to go at night. Hey, he's got to go at night. We got a problem over here. So no, I solved the problem. The mafrishina le shah achat samuk l'shkiyat hama. When do you separate them? You separate them right before shkiyah on that day. Let's say it's Monday. All right. So Monday before shkiyah, or actually let's take dates. Normally, we have to separate them out on the Kippur, so the third day, right? On the third day of Tishri, you have to mafrishim until you get to Kippur. So you get your 7 days, right? So Erev Kippur would be the 7th day. So our question was, hey, he's going to the mikveh at night. Leil Kippur, there's no Erev Shemesh. So no. I'll make it 8 days. How do I make it 8 days? Let him separate on the second, really, before sunset.
Okay.
Which means it's the day of the second, right before sunset. Now, once you separate right before that day, that's considered day one already.
Yeah.
So now already, technically, you count the 7 days, it's the 7th day is going to come out on
the night before Kippur.
Right, the night before Kippur. So I can tell you, right, on the 8th. the 8th will be the 7th day, the 8th of Tishri. Let him go to the mikveh that night, which is the 9th. And then he has Ha'irev Shemesh, right? And then on the 10th, which is Kippur, night's a lot. He doesn't work at night. He doesn't have to do the work until the following morning. So you have Ha'irev Shemesh. So what Rav Shimi says, you have no proof. I can make a case where I can make him go to the mikveh at night and still be ready for his service. See, our whole problem was, you're only dealing with 7 days here. 7 days, you're stuck. You don't need an extra night for Ha'irev Shemesh. He created the extra night. By being mafrishim a minute, even a minute before sunset, by the way.
Yeah, that's good enough.
A minute before sunset, that day counts. That's day one. So all you need is away from your wife for a minute before sunset, it counts as day one. So now what he gained is getting you 8 days. So therefore, on the 8th, right? That's already seven days. And now, the 8th of Tishri, I mean. Then he goes to the mikveh that night. That's the 9th of Tishri by night. He needs the Erev Shemesh? No problem. Take a full night till you get your Erev Shemesh, till the night of Kippur. Bingo. Now already, once Kippur comes, he's ta'on legamne, and he can serve. So you have a machloket over here between the Bizera and the Shimi. Is a bo'el nida, kinida, or not?
He did the night before.
Comes the Gemara and says, like this. I'm going to ask some questions now. Metive, we have a question.
The night of the 10th.
Again, the whole issue is over here. We need. If you say he goes to the mikveh at night, our dilemma is you need another night for Ha'irev Shemesh.
No, that's fine, but don't you need 7 days regardless whether it's Nida or Bo'el Nida?
Yeah, you're getting 7 days. The question is, when does he go to the mikveh? Does he go to the mikveh during the day or does he go to the mikveh during the night? So the first rabbi said, it's got to be going during the day because you got to get that Ha'irev Shemesh in. Rav Shimi says, no, I can tell you he's even going at night. What do you mean? Where's the Erev Shemesh? No, because you take him before Shikiyah. So you get an extra day. So therefore he goes to the mikveh on the 8th, at night, which is the 9th. Right. Kippur night is his Erev Shemesh, and he works the next day. Comes again with us as Mithi, but we have a question. Kol hayyebe tibilot, all the people that are obligated to go to the mikveh, tibilatan bayum. The tibilah is in the day. Nida, however, a nida, violated, that's later gives birth, tivilatan balayla. So the Gemara makes a diyuk. Nida in. Bo'el nida lo. Question on Nafshimi. Because the Gemara does mashma, only a nida goes by day, by night. But mashma bo'el nida, no, go by day. Gemara says, no. Nida v'chol da'ate mirbuya. When it says nida, it means nida, everything that comes from the nida. What's the tumah of a bo'el nida? It comes from nida. The pasuk says by the bo'el nida, uti nidata alav. Her nida goes on him. So therefore when it says nida, nida means nida, bo'el nida, anything that comes from the nida itself. Therefore we have no proof. Metibe, we have another question. Ba'al keri ke maga' sheretz, bo'el nida ke tamemet. Okay, we have a ba'al keri, that's a person that has seminal discharge. He has the status of somebody that touches a sheretz. Now, sheretz is an avatuma. Somebody would touch a sheretz that would make him a rishon. So they really tell you a baal keri is considered like a magah sheretz, which is a rishon. Bo'el nida ketameh met.
What do you mean, stronger?
Yes, stronger. Ketameh met, which make him a avatuma. Somebody got tameh from a met. A met is avi avot.
And
this is av. So the first was telling us levels. Baal keri is a rishon. Bo'el nida is an av, but it's comparing it in a different sense as well. Look at Rashi, please, three lines on the bottom. Ba'al keri ke magash eret, three lines on the bottom in Rashi. Litbol bayom. And also, it's like a sheret that the Ba'al keri goes to the mikveh in the day. Tum'ato, kedamini meperek elu devarim pesayim, u bo'el nida ketameh met, litbol bayom shivi'i. And a bo'el nida is like a tamemet that he goes to the mikveh on the seventh day. So we're comparing when they go to the mikveh. Meaning, the sheretz is like the baal keri that all you need is one day. It's one day tum'ah. You go to the mikveh during the day, and you just need Ha'irev Shemesh. Bo'el nida is like a tamemet. Tamemet, it's seven. But it's also day. Tamemet, what does he do? A guy became tamem corpse tumah. He goes to the mikveh on the seventh day. So you see clearly you have a baraita that says bo'el nida is like tamemet.
And tamemet
is day. Right. So comes the Gemara. Question on Nafshimi. So the Gemara says, no, first of all, who told you what we're talking about in this Braita? It just says, Bo'el Nida Ketameh Mit. Regarding what? You already explained it, when they go to the mikveh.
Who said?
The Gemara says, Maila V'Tvila. Must be we're talking about when they go to the mikveh. Tvila. Lo L'Tum'atan. It's discussing the level of Tum'ah that they have. Which means it's telling you, you should know a Baal Keri is a Rishon. He's like a Magash Eretz. And you should know a Bo'en Nida, he's like a Tameh Emet, meaning he's an Av. Which means it's just telling you what type of Tumot that they have. Who told you? It's telling you when they go to the Mikveh. The connection between Baal Keri and Magash Eretz and Bo'en Nida and Tameh Emet is the Enyan Tum'ah. Rashi, lo le Tum'atan, two lines on the bottom. Mm-hmm. Baal Keri kemagal sheretz the tumat erev v'rishon the tumah uboel nida tumat shiva ve'ava tumah ketamemet. It's telling you he's a rishon. It's a one day item. He's an ab. It's a 7 day item. The Gemara says, hold it. Do I need a braita to tell me the level of tumah that they have and how long the tumah is? These are beferush pesukim in the Torah. The Gemara says, tumatan.
Okay.
They talk about Beferush Pesukim in the Torah that tells us the Tum'ah of a Baal Keri and the Tum'ah of a Bo'en Nida. So the Gemara says, Hay Tum'at Shiv'ah Ketibbe, Ve'ay Tum'at Shiv'ah Ketibbe, which means by the Bo'en Nida, it tells us that it is a 7 day Tum'ah. And by the Tamemet, it tells us it's a 7 day Tum'ah. So what do I need a Braita? Well, you're coming to explain me Pesukim in the Torah? It's not even explaining it. It's Beferush.
Right.
So we're back to the question.
Right. What do I need this one?
What is this Braita? So it says, Ela la v'tbilatan. Must be it's telling us when they go to the mikveh. And that means it's telling us that they go to the mikveh, they need that barley that goes by day. Question on Rav Shimi. Kevara says, lo. Le'olam le'tum'atam. I tell you it's Tum'atam. And it's a Hiddush over here.
What's the Hiddush?
Sefa is the Rikhalim. The end of that Braita is the Hiddush. Eland is the end of the Braita. Shehamur memenu bo'el nida. The bo'el nida is strict in what sense? Shemetame mishkav umoshav betum'a kala letame ochlin umashkin. Explain like this. A nida, lady, a lady who's nida, we know she's metameh mishkav moshav. Mishkav moshav is anything she sits on or lies on becomes tameh. Even if she's sitting on 10 mattresses,
all 10,
doesn't matter. The tumah goes all the way down, everything becomes tameh. That's the lady of nida. Now, whatever she sits on becomes tameh, becomes abat tumah. If a person touches those mattresses, for example, they will become now a rishon de tum'ah. So the tum'at mishkav and moshav of a nida is called tum'ah hamura, because it has the ability to transfer to Adam. Okay, whenever it affects Adam, that's considered tum'ah hamura. By tum'at met, there is no mishkav and moshav. Guy touches a corpse, or is in the same room as a corpse, he's tameh, he's an av. But it doesn't affect what he sits on. There's no such thing as tum'at mishkav umoshav by tamemet. However, the Torah clearly tells us by a bo'el nida that whatever he sits on and whatever he lies on is tameh. Oh, so you say, oh, it's tameh. So same thing like nida. No, yeah. Here's the chiddush. His tum'at mishkav umoshav is considered tum'at kala, meaning that mattress and what he sat on or the chair has this din of a rishon. It cannot metameh adam. It can only metameh ochlim u'mashkim, and that's a chiddush. So the tumat mishkav moshav of bo'el nida is different than the tumat mishkav moshav of a nida. So therefore, that's the chiddush of this. When it says it's comparing it le tum'ah, it's coming to tell you that it's more hamur than a tumat met, in the sense that it has mishkav moshav, but you should know it's a limited mishkav moshav. It's called tumat kala that it can only metameh ochlim umashkim. Now, how do we know this?
I'll
tell you how you know it, because
The Torah says, "Uti nidata alav," that when a man is with a nida, the nida goes on him. That already should have been enough for me to know he's like a nida, and therefore Meshkav Moshav. You don't got to tell me in a Beferush Pasuk that he's Metame Meshkav Moshav. Once you tell me he has a din of a nida, it's automatic.
Equal.
Why did the Torah have to go out of its way by Bo'el Nida and say, V'chol HaMeshkav HaShed Yishkav Alav? Ella must be telling me that his Meshkav Moshav is different.
Mm-hmm.
Because otherwise, just keep quiet, don't say anything. Once you tell me Utini Data Alav, he's a Nida. Okay. Good, whatever Nida is, that's what he is. And the fact that it had to write it explicitly teaches me what? His Meshkav Moshav must be different. How is it different? It's only Metameh, Ochli Mumashkim, and not Adam. That's more Hamur than the Tamemet. Tamemet does not have Mishkav Moshav at all. However, it's not like any that. So therefore, yes, there is a Hadush in the Tumahe, by the way. So when you come and tell me this Braita, you're really telling me a Hadush over here. You're explaining the parameter of what? The Tum'ah of a Bo'el Nida.
Right.
Which means, Bo'el Nida is like what? Is like a Tamemet. That what? It has 7 days, and the Tumat Met also has 7 days. Is that the Hiddush yet? No. But we're setting up for the Hiddush. The Sefa is the Hiddush. And the Tum'ah of the Bo'el Nida that we said has 7 days, you should know it's got a Mishkav and Moshav of Kula. That what? That it's only Metameh, Ochli Mumashkim, and not Adam. So there is a Hiddush in the Sefa of the statement. So therefore, Rav Shimi says, I no question on me from here. Really, I'll tell you, Bo'el Nida is Kinida, and therefore he has to go to the mikveh at night. And this over here was not discussing when they go to the mikveh, we're just discussing the parameters of the Tum'ah. Comes the Gemara and says, Tashema. We're on the fourth line. Detani de Bichiya. Hazav. Ve'azava. Hamesorah. Zav Zava, those are men or ladies that had an emission. Hamesorah is a leper. Mesorah is a female leper. Ubo'el nida v'tamemet tevilatam bayom. This is straight out right there. Clearly says bo'el nida is in the day. Now, nida v'yoledet tevilatam balayla tiyufta. That's it, refutation. Now Rav Shimi can't answer this. He answered all the other ones, but it's beferush. It's clearly making a haluk between bo'el nida and nida. And it's telling you that bo'el nida goes to the mikveh in the day. That's a refutation against Rav Shimi, and therefore Rav Zera is correct when he said, Bo'el Nida eno kenida. Bo'el Nida goes in the day, and then Nida goes at night. Now the Gemara asks another question. New question. New point. Ve'ad she'ata mafrisho mitum'at beto hafrisheu mitum'at amet. Gemara says, you're so concerned about his wife. Separate him from his wife. She might be sefek nida. You have a 7 days. Before you get involved in only worrying about his wife, hafrishil mitum'at amet. Why don't you separate the Kohen from potential situations of tum'at amet? How? Look at Rashi. Look at Rashi. Ve'ad she'ata mafrishil mitum'at beto, ushar kol adam nechnasim v'yotzim eslo. Well, during his stay in the Shkat Perhedrin, there's people coming in and out, teaching him, visiting him. What's going to happen? You're worried about tomorrow, aren't you? So we should make full sequestered, meaning solitary confinement. Nobody's been able to come in and see him. A guy might walk in to see him, and the guy dies now. He's under the same roof of him, he becomes tamen. And in 7 days, you're stuck, you won't be able to work on Kippur. But if you're so worried about Sifekot, the guy might die on him. So comes the Gemara and says, Amar Rav Tahlifa. Rav Tahlifa said, Abu Dravuna. Meshemed Rava, Zot Omeret, must be, we can learn from here, Tum'at Amet Hutra Hi Besibur. Back to something we learned to Pesachim. We're going to say it like this. Must be, we're not worried about it. You know why? Let's say a guy dies on him. Now becomes Tameh. However, we have a rule. Tum'at Hutra Besibur, meaning we're going to learn like this. In a case where the Kohen needs to bring Korbenot Sibur, this is for the Sibur of it. All the Korbenot of Kippur
besides a few, which we'll discuss in a moment, there could have been no tzibur, the Kla Yisrael. So the Gemara's understanding now must be that once the Kohen needs to bring public offering, so there's no problem. But let him become Tameh. The guy dies. So what? Tum'ah, hutrah, b'sibur. Hutrah means it's permissible. So therefore, that's not a concern of mine. Now, Nida, no, Nida is different. Which means when we learned Tum'ah, hutrah, b'sibur in Masechet Pesachim, it was dafka to admit. Right? We learned Parazav, Zavah, Mitzorah, all those other things. We didn't learn because it was Gizrot Tekatu we learned over there. Right? Ish ki ye tameh. So tameh, which means tameh lamet, we learned. But the point over here, the Gemara is, Tumat Meh, it's not going to impact us at all over here. So the Sheila that you have to ask is like this. Hold it. You give me a cloud. Korbenot Sibur, Hutra B'Sibur B'Tumah. But what about the Kohen's personal Korbanot that he's bringing? Besides the public Korbanot, there's personal Korbanot over here. So Rashi offers us two answers. Rashi says the two following answers. Answer number one is like this. When we say korbenot sibur or hutra, you know what it really means? That's a general way of saying korbanot that are bound by time. Because normally korbenot sibur are bound by time. The olat temit shel shahar is bound by time. The olat temit shel benot. These are time-bound korbanot. Normally a korban sibur, it is brought on Pesach, this is brought on Sukkot.
Yahid, let him bring it next week.
Yahid normally is a neder or nedaba. But if you have a korban yachid that's bound by time, it follows the same rules. It's kavu al osman. So therefore, in a chenami, Aaron could also bring his korbanot on Kippur because it's kavu al osman like a korban sibur. Tumah utra b'sibur. Answer number two that she says that without Aaron bringing his korbanot, you can't bring the korbanot sibur. V'chiper ba'ado ba'ad beto ba'ad ka'al Yisrael. So therefore, his korbanot yachid are linked to the korbanot sibur. Therefore, if we say tumata b'sibur, it's going to affect Aaron's korbanot as well. So then we're not worried about Aaron's korban. So the Gemara wants a proof from over here, from the fact that you're not worried about the Kohen coming in contact with human beings during the 7 days, is because you don't care if they die. Because even if they die, tum'ah hutra b'sibur, it's permissible to him lechet. When we say the word hutra means, it's mutar lechet techila, go bring the korban. So comes the Gemara and says, Ravina Amar, afilu tema tum'ah tamet dechoyai b'sibur. He said, no, you have no proof of it. Maybe I'll tell you tum'ah dechoya. How did we learn in Pesachim what tum'ah dechoya means? Dechoya means, we'll let the Kohen serve if he became Tamemet, but it's Bidiavat, meaning only if you have no options. It's not Nechat Tahidah. Dehoya means Bidohak, meaning under pressure, under circumstance, we'll allow it. Hutra means, go right ahead, no problem. He becomes Tamemet, Nechat Tahidah. Dehoya means it's pushed away, but if you have another angle or option, do it. So he said, I really tell you, you know what? Really, Tum'ad Dehoya. Also, if it's Tumat Dehoya, how come we don't sequester from human beings? You know what the answer is? Tumat Tamet Lo Shchicha. Because it's obvious, it's not common that people die. Right? That's already a far-fetched thing. However, Tumat Beto Shchicha. But the Tumat Nida is Shchicha. So I'm going to separate him from the Tumot that are more frequent. The Tumat from his wife, and that happens. So therefore, you got to sequester from his wife. But what am I worried about? I'm worried about during the 7 days that a guy shouldn't walk into the room with his wife. It's a far hashat. The guy's going to die during that time. That's the shkiha. Comes Gemara and says, Itmar, Tumat Amet, regarding Tumat Amet, Rav Nachman Amar Hutrai Besibur, Rav Sheshat Amar Dehoyai Besibur. Here we go. We have a famous mahlokah over here between Rav Nachman and Rav Sheshat. Is Tum'ah Hutra or Tum'ah Dehoya? So the Gemara explains the parameters of the Machloket. Heka de'ika teme'im v'tehorim ba'hu bet'av. Now what was a bet'av? Bet'av was the daily group of Kohanim that served. You had the Mishmar, which was the general group. The Mishmar was separated into six parts. That was each part was called what?
Bet'av.
So now the Gemara is saying, you have a bet'av, let's say Sunday's group, okay? You have in the group Teme'im and Tehorim. Now we have a question. According to the opinion of Tum'ah Hutra, do you say, well, give it to the Tameh? No. where you have Teme'im and Teorim, even the one that says Tuma Hutra, give it to the Teorim. What do you have to give it to the Teme'im for? So again, Hechadika Teme'im the Teorim Ba'u Bet'av, Kula Amalo Perigi the Teorim Avde Teme'im Lo Avde. Give it to the Teorim. What do you have to do with Betuma for? Ki Perige La'adure Ul'atuye Teorim Bet'av Aharina. The question is, if I say the whole Bet Av is Teme'im, do you have to go now to another Bet Av and get Tehorim? Rav Nachman Amar, Eteri Besibur Velo Madrinan. He says, Tumah Utra, don't bother yourself. Let them bring it. However, Rav Sheshat Amar, Dehoyai Besibur Madrinan. He says, no, it's Dehoyah, go trouble yourself.
And find
go find Taor guys from another Bet Av and let them bring. That's the Nafka Amina. Now, Ika De Amri goes a step further. אפילו אחד יקה תהורים ותמאים באי בית אב. יאב, תהורים ותמאים, פליגי רב נחמן. רב נחמן still argues and says what? ואמרי אב דנמי תמאים. You can even bring, the תמאים can bring the car. Right? Because תומאה הותרה. But you have תהורים over there. So what? There's no difference. You can bring the Qur'an with the Tamim because Tum'ah Hutra. Dechol Tum'at Med Besibur Rahmana Sharia. Hey, the Torah says Tum'at Met Besibur is Mutar. Once it's Mutar, he's like a Tahor. And there would be no problem. The Torah was Matirit. How do you know the Torah was Matirit? Top line in Nashi. Dikhtiv. Ish. He Yetameh LaNefesh Ya'aseh Pesach Sheni. That's an individual. איש נדחה לפסח שני ואין סיבור נדחים אבל זווין ומסורעים נידות ויולדות like we just learned שנטמאו יוצא עליו בגופו. It's a different, that tum'at comes from their body, that's mohamur, which is tum'at met is from an external spot,
another source.
So therefore we say tum'at hutra by tum'at met, but a tum'at that emanates of the body, then we say lo hutra ubo'en nida kenida, which means when we say bo'en nida kenida, it didn't come from his body, but it came from her body. But you know what? Bo'el nida, kenida. He has the deen of nida. And therefore, by a bo'el nida, we don't say this deen of tum'ah, utra, besibur. Because you ask me a question, you'll tell me, okay, what do you have to separate the kohen from his wife 7 days? Because, tum'at met, we say utra. Right, according to Rav Nachman. Oh, wait. And nida is not, because it comes from my body.
Right.
Oh, good. Bu'el nida doesn't come from his body. It should have a deen of Tumat Met. And therefore we should say, don't separate it from his wife.
No.
And because so what? No. Bu'el nida ki nida. Therefore, it's like it comes from his body. Therefore, you have to separate it from his wife. Why don't you have to separate it from a... From people. So two answers. Either you hold kostumah utra besibur. So therefore, what do you care? Let the guy die. You bring it besibur, no problem. Or you say what? No. Really, tumah dechuya besibur. So why don't you concern? Because I'm not concerned. Tumah is law shliha. And now we also have another fantastic machloket over here on how far Rav Nachman went with this tumah utra. According to the first shita, he only said tumah utra when all you have is teme'im. In the Bet Av. But if you have Teorim in the Bet Av, right, use the Teorim. The Ika the Amri says, even if you have Teorim in the Bet Av, you could use the Teme'im. Why? Because the Torah was Matirit. Baruch Adonai Le'olam.